The processional hymn 346. Angel voices ever singing round thy throat of light. This morning, we follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. This is the 14th Sunday after Trinity. It is also the Sunday before the King's Accession Day. And we'll be keeping that in mind as we proceed with our worship. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, we humbly beseech thee to behold thy servant, King Charles. Endue him with thy Holy Spirit, enrich him with thy heavenly grace, prosper him with all joy, and bring him to thine everlasting kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Exodus, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses on which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn on the sheet provided, I vow to thee, my country. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. If
another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20, part of our Gospel reading today. For where two or three are gathered in my name, in thy name, I am there among them. Jesus will be there. Jesus will be with us. Jesus will be with you and me. Isn't this what the church is meant to be about? Isn't this the very heart of what Christians believe, that Jesus is present with them? Why do we join in worship? Don't we Christians join together in worship because we have a shared belief that this life is not the end? Do not we as Christians believe that through Jesus from Nazareth, we have a hope of a life beyond this? We as Christians trust that through our faith we have the hope of being reunited with our loved ones in a life that is beyond all our human imagination. And doesn't that hope give a meaning to us meeting together for worship? If we as Christians did not believe that Jesus was present among us, then why would we attend worship? What is the point in any of it if there is no Jesus? If Jesus is not among us, then none of it would have any meaning. I am there among them, says Jesus. We have a confidence that he is with us, but we have to ask ourselves, how will people recognize his presence in our society in this 21st century? We all know that things have changed beyond recognition. We can see for ourselves that the traditional values, the traditional beliefs, the traditional ways have been set aside. The name of Jesus is perhaps more likely to be heard as a swear word than as a word in worship. Look at where we are now. And we have to to ask, how will anyone have a chance to believe Jesus unless someone tells them? And who is there to tell them about Jesus except for us, except for Christian people like ourselves? The story is being forgotten. For the past 3 years, a former colleague of mine who is no longer in stipendary ministry has taught religious education in a religious school, a school founded to extend the Christian faith, a school where faith in Jesus is a stated part of the school ethos. But when he talks about Jesus, when he talks about stories or incidents in the Gospels, he meets mostly blank faces. It is not that they are opposed to what it says them. It is simply that it doesn't mean anything to them. Fewer and fewer people know anything about the Christian faith. Only a minority of those whom I meet seem to have anything more than a very scant idea of the Christian story. Experienced primary school teachers would tell you how few of their pupils would know the religious significance of Shrove Tuesday as anything more than making pancakes, or the religious understanding of the penitential season of Lent. So where do Christians start? One thing is for sure, in 20 years' time, the religious landscape will have changed completely. The church, I suspect, will have disappeared in many areas. There will be few or no people left to sustain it. But how will people have a chance to be aware of Jesus' presence if there is no church to tell them? How will people know that Jesus is with them if they do not know who Jesus is? There are fewer of us than there were, so those of us who are left need to be creative. We need to use our imagination. We need to be able to care for people as Jesus would care for them. And we need to reach out to the world around us in the name of Jesus. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Jesus doesn't say that the church has to be organized in a certain way, nor does Jesus say that the church must be an institution with offices and committees and officials. The church can exist without denominational organizations. It can exist without hierarchies. It can exist even without bishops. How much of the resources of the church does the church use just on maintaining itself? Does Jesus ask us for us to run things that way? Jesus does not say that if two or three meet together, that we must have all the things that many Christians would associate with being a church. He doesn't say we must have a building and all the other things that become so important. Even if there was nothing left of the church in a place except our small group of people meeting together, Jesus would still be there with us, and we would still be part of his church. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Jesus is present with all of us who meet. When we as Christians have that confidence that Jesus is with us, then it makes us into a different group of people, and it makes us into a different sort of church.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On page 205, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge our baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Everlasting God, Lord of compassion and gracious understanding, we come with an openness to express our concerns for the church and the world, and to thank you for your goodness. We recognize that the work of helping people through life can leave church leaders vulnerable. We thank you for our church leaders and ask that negativity will not blunt their ministry. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, for the clergy and other church workers, that they will hear encouragement and that they will always respond in love when difficulties arise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for our world, where through television and the wider visual media, we see the misery and tragedy brought about by wrong choices and brought into our homes day by day. We pray for wisdom and compassion in all negotiations and decisions taken by our world and local leaders, and ask that there be humility in leadership and responsibility for right action shared by all. We pray for Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Andy Burnham, and the government, the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, Deputy First Minister, Emma Little-Pengelly, and the Executive, President Catherine Connolly, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Taoiseach Simon Harris, and the government in the Republic. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, help us to use our influence and the talents you have given us to bring peace, joy, and recreation into people's lives instead of stirring up strife. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we raise before you those from our parish who have begun a new school term. Also, those preparing for marriage. In particular, we remember Beth and Aaron to be married in this church later this week. And we pray for those who are ill, hospitalized, or recuperating, and for those we know within our families and circle of friends, especially Jean Branford and the Reverend Graham Spence. Lord, in your mercy. Faithful God, forgive us for those times when we treat ourselves with less kindness than you do. We want to believe in ourselves the way you believe in us. And so as we go out to live the coming week, show us more of the life you have designed, especially for us to live. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name. and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 507, Put Peace into Each Other's Hands. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate peace.
Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places it is right for us to give you thanks and praise. And so, with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, we all share one bread.
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Christ, keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Lord God, the source of truth and love, keep us faithful to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, united in prayer and the breaking of bread, and one in joy and simplicity of heart. In Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Items for the food bank may be left here in church or at the Brookhill Hall today or next Sunday. Tomorrow night, Monday, at 7:30, a meeting of the Select Vestry in the hall. On Thursday, United Choir Practice here in church at 8 o'clock. And next Saturday, there are two distinct things on. One, local, from 10:30 onwards, family event and cars and tractors. That will be at Legacurry Orange Hall.
No, Robert. Lochocry Road.
Lochocry Road. Okay. And at between 10:30 and 5, there will be the Church Missionary Society annual event. It's taking place at the Drumontine Retreat and Conference Centre near Newry, and Archbishop Sammy Fossey, one of our global partners from the province of Alexandria, will be joining in person along with his wife Madalena, who will bring stories of their ministry in the Middle East. There will be a children's program throughout the day, and all parents and carers are welcome to come along to that as well. Sunday next, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, family service at 10 o'clock. On Wednesday, the 16th of September, at 11 o'clock, there will be the Wednesday Club. That will take place in the hall, and all retirees and seniors from the community are welcome. And on Monday, the 21st of September, under the auspices of the Mothers Union, a pudding party will take place in the hall at 7:30. and I do emphasize that, all are welcome. The Harvest Festival this year takes place, as it traditionally does, on the last Sunday in this month, that Sunday, the 28th of September, with Harvest Communion at 10 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock, an evening service with the Lurgan Salvation Army Band participating. It is good to be back amongst you and see you all again. And already we can see we've quite a start to the new season, and we look forward to sharing together in all that lies ahead in church and parochial life. The processional hymn 549. Peace, to love and serve the Lord.